All right, so Derek Mason is a pastor, an author. He's from Madison, Wisconsin, and he's been our guest previously. He was with us on August 28th, I think, the official date. But I wanted to have him back for a variety of reasons. Number one, it was a fascinating conversation. Number two, we barely scratched the surface talking about his new book called Embracing Our Full Victory in Christ. And the subtitle to that is The Journey from Darkness to Light. But we're going to dig in a little deeper here. But I just thought it was appropriate as we head into this new year that we at least acknowledge that spiritual warfare is real. And we did touch on that. We covered that during our first conversation. Derek, welcome back to NBL. How are you?
I'm doing great, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know how fortunate you feel to be here, but this is the year the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl, and we get a chance to have you on. I mean, think about that, right?
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that would be very amazing, actually. Yeah, well, I don't know. You're from Wisconsin, and Green Bay wins all the time, so... Yeah, we want at least one. So we're into a new year, and in just a little while, we're actually going to hear a sermon from a pastor locally who talked about the importance of praying first, putting Christ first in our lives, in everything. But it made sense to me in thinking about it that we needed to get you back to talk about spiritual warfare, because I don't think most people even believe it really exists. And the verse that kept coming to mind is out of Ephesians 6, actually two verses, number 11 and 12, where it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Derek, I don't know, do you think most people are thinking about that when they start planning out what their year is going to look like and start thinking about, you know, in the flesh, what they're going to be doing today and tomorrow and next week? I don't think that that's generally on the mind of the average believer. Your thoughts?
Yeah. No, I would agree with you on that. I think that's a big mistake. You know, it's not only Paul that warns us of that and calls us into that, but Jesus talks a lot about, you know, the spiritual dimension and how powerful that is, and that we need to take that very seriously. That if we're focusing in our attention on the wrong battle, if we think that I mean, how genius is that of Satan to get us to, if we put all of our focus and our attention in an area that's not where the battle is going to be won, I mean, boy, that puts us in a really bad spot. But Jesus says, don't be fooled. You know, that's the spiritual realm is really where it's at. And no, I don't think most people are not thinking about that. When people start to think about that often, when they start to realize that they're in situations that they can't do anything about, that it's beyond their control, and that they do have to lean on God for that kind of strength and power and help and stuff. And then they start to consider that maybe there really is more to the spiritual realm thing than what they've thought in the past.
I think everyone, whether they admit it or not, at some point or another has seen a horror film or a film that involves some kind of occult or demonic activity. And I wish I could say I'd never seen anything like that, but various times in my life, sleeping over a friend's house, whatever, you know, we watched some movies like that. And you see these things like, you know, in movies, stuff is flying across the room. All of a sudden, a vase or a chair flips over, you know, like strange things, doors fly shut, and pretty scary stuff. I don't think most of us have ever really witnessed anything like that, like in real life, but the Bible's clear that there's another dimension to all of this, and that there are spirits all around us. There's angels too, but that there's all kinds of things going on, and I thought it would be worth taking a little time to discuss this. Now, If you're going to try to convince somebody that this spiritual warfare that we're talking about here is real, what does it look like to the average person? Like, if somebody was going to say, well, where would I see that happening in my own life? Can you give us an example, a case study or two, like where you've seen this kind of activity alive and well in people's lives? Because sometimes I wonder if, you know, maybe a son or daughter is struggling with addiction, if there isn't demonic influence in that, or you know, spiritual warfare going on when a relationship is breaking down or somebody's turning their heart away from Jesus. Can you talk about what it looks like in real life?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, and some of that stuff, I mean, the Hollywood stuff, that does, some of it happens. When I watch some of that stuff, I'm like, okay, that some of it gets a little ridiculous, but some of it does actually happen, that extreme stuff. But more common, what you were talking about, what's more common for most of us to be able to see, yeah, I would say that where we see it quite a bit would be places where people are struggling really seriously with suicidal thoughts and tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is a little bit more complicated, but suicide is, people don't generally want to die. They want to live. The reason why they're at such a place is because it's an extreme place of hopelessness and entrapment, that they don't feel like there is any other good option, that's the only option that they have. And when people are struggling with places, things like, you know, physical ailments sometimes that won't heal, sometimes there can be a spiritual dimension to that. Places of addiction, like what you're talking about, is often, it's not so much, like, people will often come to me and they'll say that I have a spirit of alcoholism. I'm like, that's not generally what I find. Is it's not a spirit of alcoholism. What it is that the alcoholism is something that they're using to cope with a deeper wound. And that's how demonic elements end up getting in and really really doing some damage, is in places of deep wounds. There are generally three places that I have seen, open doors that they get in, and that's what they're looking for, is a way to get in and really do some damage. The first one is through trauma, through extreme pain, suffering, whether it be abuse. Abuse is definitely a huge open door, and it doesn't have to just be sexual. It can be verbal, can be just as damaging, you know, psychological, physical, all of it, any kind of abuse. If it's severe enough, that definitely can be an open door. But they can invite them in also if they're dabbling in witchcraft stuff or occult, any kind of occult practices that are basically serving as like a medium, where you're interceding for other people to, or even yourself, to be able to find out wisdom, knowledge. A lot of times people, they think, just because of a lot of the stuff they see with Hollywood, that this is safe or even fun. That can be, I mean, you're basically inviting something in to indwell you. I mean, that's very unwise to do that. But that can be a place. And then also I've seen, unfortunately, something that's very common is generational, which I know is a place of debate and stuff, but regardless, I do see that quite a bit as well. But you'll see it in places of, whether it be deep darkness, of really struggling, sometimes things with incredible anger. When a person is triggered by something, that they go, they'll often explain it as that they feel like they're on a freight train that they can't get off. That, and I know some people will say, well, you're just making excuses for people for their bad behavior. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could go to that, and a person could abuse this of kind of using it just as an excuse for their bad behavior. But a person that legitimately is really wrestling with this, they'll say, you know, something happened that triggered me, and I felt like I didn't even have an option of whether it be anger and rage or whatever it is. And it is something that's triggered within them that is often from a wound that's way back, that ended up happening to them, and that's what's bringing them into that kind of a place. They'll say that it's a wall that I can't get over, I can't get around. They get extremely frustrated when other Christians that are well-intentioned, and they are trying to love on them, but that they'll say, you just have to pray more, you just have to read your Bible more, you just have to go to church more. And these people are like, I'm doing all those things, and nothing's working. I can't seem to get any kind of victory. It's not even any kind of budging. Sometimes when people are reading their Bible and there's a block where they just cannot get past that wall, again, there's the wall analogy, that I can't seem to plug into the presence of God. They want God, but they can't seem to connect there. There's something that's separating them. Like I said also before, sometimes even physical ailments and stuff that just won't heal, where doctors will come back to them and say, there's no reason for you to be suffering the way you're suffering, but Either way, it's there. And sometimes they even feel like the doctors are telling them that they're crazy or whatever, but it could be that there's a spiritual element to it as well. So yeah, those are a handful of them.
Yeah, and I think just about everybody listening can relate in some way to what you're describing, whether it was personal or in the life or family of some, you know, that we love. We've seen these kinds of things occur in the lives of people around us, for sure. But let me just touch on this for a minute, because I'm sure it's the elephant in the room for some who are listening. You had talked about inviting things in. Now, I might have told this story the first time you were on in October. But in college, my roommate and I, he was a charismatic Catholic. I was a hardcore fundamentalist Baptist. And, you know, we butt heads on some things and fellowshipped on others because we were both believers. But we'd started listening to a certain kind of music. It wasn't horrible, but it was, you know, it wasn't Christian music for sure. And one night early on, we were freshmen. We were there for training camp for football. And there was virtually no one else at the university except the athletes. And we go to bed. It's like, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. It's dark in the room. And all of a sudden, both of us sat up in bed. And I said his name. I said, Rick. And he goes, don't say it. I know what you're going to say. And the hair on the back of my neck was standing up. Back then, I had hair, Derek. It's just a point of information I want to throw in. But anyhow, I was really freaked out by this whole thing. And he jumped up, turned the lights on. I ended up calling my pastor and said, what in the world was that? Like, what just happened? Something very dark, very strange was in our room. We didn't see anything with our eyes, but we felt something. And I've never had a similar experience quite that heavy. I've been in places where I felt some real demonic sort of oppression in the air. But and the pastor asked me, he said, what kind of music have you been listening to? And he didn't immediately jump to that. He was asking other questions, but he said, have you been listening to music that isn't glorifying to God or what? Because he was asking, have you given the place a place for the devil to get in? Like, and that was the only thing we could think of. Now, whether that was true or not, I don't know. But the point is, we stopped listening to that. We prayed over the room. We dedicated that room to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said, Lord, you know, help us to honor you here. And while we weren't perfect, we conducted Bible studies there and did other things that I think were glorifying to God. And we never had that experience again. So if you mean like invite the devil in, like in that kind of a situation, that's one thing. But there's some people, I'm sure, that are having a hard time with the idea of a believer who's been possessed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in the life of one who's received Jesus. You know, and being able to invite a demonic presence into their life, and that there's room for both the devil and, you know, the Spirit of the living God in the life of a believer. So if you could at least comment on that, because I think some people are going to get hung up at that point. And I'm not asking you to say whatever, you know, you hope our listeners will agree with, but from your perspective, help us understand, can a true Bible-believing Christian who knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ and is a follower of Christ and who's been baptized and whatever else be possessed by the devil?
Yeah, that's, you know what, I'm so glad that you brought this up and that you're willing to even talk about it. There's some people that just are not even willing to talk about this, and it is something that really does need to be discussed. So here's my experience and my opinion, and this is, it's not only theologically my opinion. I am a pastor. I've gone through seminary and stuff, but also what I've seen and what I've experienced. So should a person have that happening? No, I don't believe a person that really does embrace the Holy Spirit of God, and they're not going to be perfect, but really, truly allowing for the Holy Spirit to dwell within. When Jesus says, follow me, then that is it's a heart of surrender. It's not, doesn't have to be perfect, but it is a matter of then listening to even the Spirit of God that's following or leading us, and that we follow it. If a person is doing that, then no, I believe that God will, well, I'll put it this way, that God will highlight if there is something in there, and then will lead them to a place of getting it out and being freed of it. Here's the problem, though. It is happening today, and I see it all the time. And so we can either just deny it and say that it's not possible, or we can ask the better question, which is why? Why is this happening? It shouldn't be happening, but why is it happening? And because if we don't at least even acknowledge it, I see people all the time that are told flat out that it can't be possible, and so you're wrong. It's not happening. This person is tormented, and they're all by themselves then, because Christians that believe with all their heart that this can't be possible, they turn their backs on them, and it's not true. And I think we need to at least stop and say, well, what is happening then? Why is this happening? This is my belief in it, and this is what I have seen, that God has answered and done some amazing things with people in this. And that is, and so in my opinion, this is bearing fruit that validates that we're on the right track. And that is this. I think when Jesus calls us to follow him, again, it's a heart of surrender, that we make him our Lord and Savior, and that we receive the Holy Spirit, and that it leads us and it guides us, it empowers us, it strengthens us. And it's very similar to the Exodus, that God pulls us out of slavery in Egypt. He pulls us out to the Mount Sinai to show us his presence and to reveal himself to us. And it's in that time, the wilderness wanderings, that he's purging basically the evil, the sin, what Egypt had, the influence of Egypt on them, to get them prepared to go into the promised land, to face the giants, and to be able to prevail with the presence of God. But I think that there's many Christians that they accept Christ intellectually, they say the prayer or whatever, but they're not being taught how to follow Christ. They just go back to their lives. And so they're not really embracing the Holy Spirit. They're not walking with him. They look at it more as just as kind of a magic prayer that everything changes from, and God calls us into relationship. And so what I see is that when I work with a person and I give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not lying to me, that they're not crazy, that they really legitimately have a demonic presence that's in there, I start getting them back to the basics of Christianity. I get them back to learning as far as what it is. What is the salvation journey? What is the sanctification process, that we're justified, but also we're supposed to start the sanctification process? And do they know what that means? And how do they follow God as he leads them and stuff? And the big thing is their identity. They got to understand who they are in Christ. Most Christians, they don't understand that identity, so they still find their identity in other things, which is idolatry, and it sets them up for the enemy to defeat them in many different ways. And so as I teach them this stuff, as we walk through it, and it's not just preaching at them, it's I walk with them each week, once a week, for 45 minutes to an hour, through a phone call, through talking about what's going on in their life. We also do studying and talking about scripture, and then getting into deliverance, which is another topic if necessary. We walk them through that, and what I see is I see them learning how to plug into the power and the presence of God. I watch them where these walls fall down, and I see how they come into a place of peace. Sometimes it is like a flip of a switch, but often it's more of a journey, again, like the wilderness wanderings. And so teach them how to be able to walk with God, how to embrace God, and to overcome with him. And in my opinion, that's what God is calling us into, to be children of the light, to be children of the living God, who have their identity in Christ, that embrace the power of the living God and are now utilized by him to make a difference and speak into the darkness. And I watch these people that come from one extreme, that go from one extreme to the other, and they become powerful warriors for the kingdom of God.
In a moment, I'm going to ask Derek how to get a copy of the book, but it says here in the promotional materials, who's it for? And I just want to read just a couple things here. Who's a book, you know, who's this book for? Those who have a desire for freedom from dark influences or a call to spiritual warfare. People with the inability to move beyond the effects of sexual abuse, severe trauma, temptations, anxieties, and psychological walls that they can't break through. People with deep-seated anger, hurt, or cynicism towards the church. People with a strong awareness that they're not experiencing the fullness of Christ's salvation. People experiencing confusion, alienation, and neglect towards spiritual warfare, sanctification, and deliverance practices. Those with a desire to overcome paralyzing deep struggles, unexplained illness and pain that won't heal, nightmares and night terrors, impure thoughts and destructive voices, enslavement to pornography and sexual perversion, PTSD, schizophrenia, suicide, severe depression, and lack of self-worth or addiction. And we talk about all those things all year long on NBL. This is not uncommon to talk about those issues right there, Derek. And this book offers another look at how to say goodbye to some of these things by experiencing freedom in Christ. Before I get to the phones, how do you get a copy of this, Derek? I'm sure Amazon, at least one place.
Yeah, Amazon's going to be the best place to be able to get it. There's also, it's in an audio format as well, but Amazon is the best place to be able to get it.
All right, again, it's Derek, D-E-R-E-K, Derek Mason, and the book is called Embracing Our Full Victory in Christ. Let me get to Rob here. It looks like from Niagara Falls, Ontario. Rob, welcome to NBL. You're on with Derek Mason. You had a question or a comment for Derek?
Actually, I got a bit of a story to tell that is pretty apropos to the conversation today.
Okay, yeah. Well, just keep it relatively brief, but go ahead. We want to hear it. Yeah.
I'll try my best. When I was a teenager, I went to a record store and purchased a cassette tape. So that's how long ago this was. And it was a band that I've come to understand I should never have listened to. I was a Christian. I was about 17. And I got home late, 10 o'clock at night. I put that cassette in the stereo and started playing it, lying in my bed in the dark. And all of a sudden, I was pinned to my bed. I couldn't move. Every ounce of strength was being drained out of me. And I managed to roll my eyes open to see something on top of me. And I can only describe it as a red glow. But the evil, like the darkness, was almost crushing, as if I had weights pressing upon my chest. After struggling for I don't know how long, I couldn't speak. So all I said in my head was Jesus, and the thing just vanished. And it was then I realized where Paul says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That came alive because, you know, you hear there's a spirit world and a dark spirit world, and you go, yeah. Sure, as a Christian, I've always been taught that, but when you actually see it and have it enter and attack you, which is what I truly believe happened that day, it really becomes a reality that, you know, we have this dark power. It's always working against us as a believer. And when I got up, I realized the music wasn't playing anymore, and the cassette tape was melted in the stereo to the point where I had to throw the whole thing away. I was a believer, so I can be possessed, but I certainly believe there's such a thing as oppression. And sure. I agree, you can easily open the door to allow that oppression to seek and come into your life. And you as a Christian, most Christians, I don't think are aware. So many times the things we struggle with really are a result of things that we've done to allow the enemy to take a foothold.
Wow. All right. So that's not that far away from the kind of thing I was describing. Derek, how do you respond to Rob?
Yeah. It's I've definitely heard and had quite a few people that have, I mean, that's a night terror basically is what it is. That's something that's pretty powerful, pretty strong. I would definitely would want to know more details. I think that's obviously got to pay attention to the details to be able to understand what's happening. But you're right. Something, you allowed something somehow to come in, and it seems like something had to do with the tape there, with it melting and stuff like that. But yeah, that's a night terror there that, it's definitely demonic, and it opens up your eyes to the reality that stuff really does exist for sure. Yeah.
So, Rob, go ahead. But I also wanted to know real quick, if you don't mind, how your life has been influenced by that experience. In other words, have you been more attentive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to stay away from certain things because of that experience?
Sure. I'll address that in a sec, but I forgot to mention this detail. When I later on the next day or maybe 2 days later went into the liner notes of that cassette, that song had the Lord's Prayer in it, but it was completely, you know, I'm not even going to say what it says, but it was right. Just destroyed. It was very much a blasphemy of the Lord's Prayer. And so that's where I kind of put it all together right then and there. That that's kind of what happened. In answer to your question, Neil, because of that experience and a couple others that, you know, are less impactful through the course of my life, I've realized that we need to really guard our hearts against certain things, even things that, you know, the world would teach you are benign. But as a believer, they don't really have a place. And I've always said, I say this to my children, I go, all it takes is one degree off while you're driving to eventually down the road end up someplace you have no idea where you got there. So small compromises along the way ultimately can lead you to a very bad place in the end. And the devil and his, he has, you know, his legions want to do nothing more than to take you off track. Yeah. As a believer, he can't have me, but he certainly can make me ineffective. And he can also make my life difficult and my walk with God much less close because of certain things that I will allow him in for.
Well, I agree 100%. And Rob, thank you for the phone call. So, Derek, I don't think his experience is that unusual. Probably the exact thing hasn't happened to most who are listening, but some similar unexplained kind of strange experience. But I think the key point is that there really is darkness. There's light and there's darkness. And, you know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The word says Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. So this kind of activity, I mean, the fact that evil exists and that the enemy wants to trip up believers, I think we all agree with that, exactly how it works. Maybe there's some room for conversation, but the point is you've spent much of your life and ministry helping people to overcome the effects of, you know, these things in areas maybe where they've submitted and they shouldn't have, where they've allowed something that they shouldn't have. And speak to the heart of the person who's, you know, having a hard time moving past the effects of sexual abuse or trauma or, you know, some kind of situation that's caused them to walk around with deep-seated anger, as I mentioned earlier, and they're looking for freedom. I guess the point is you're saying that in Christ, hope is available, right? But stop neglecting these things. Let's begin to address them.
Yep. Yeah, you no doubt. If a person has especially, if there is a spiritual issue that's there, most likely the person is going to need to have some sort of a deliverance. The church was taught and has the authority to be able to help people in these situations, but unfortunately I've seen many churches that have gotten away from this, and some of it might be just from distraction. They're busy in other areas or whatever. Some of it might be belief that they don't believe in it, but there are ministries that are out there. There's Wellsprings International is an organization that duplicates this, that does a decent job, at least overall. Each location or whatever that does it is different, but overall they seem to have a pretty good system. But yeah, they need to find some place that can help them with a deliverance to remove that entity, and that's leaning in on the authority and the power of Christ. It's nothing that's crazy. It should not be anything that is yelling and screaming and chaotic and dangerous. It should be actually very calm, but it could be emotional for them, but to remove that. But the point is also for them to trust as they pray and look for God to guide them into the assistance of being able to help and remove that. Yeah, if they've been abused, a lot of times, just as an example, a person that's sexually been abused, they are going to have perversion of their mind that is going to, they're going to probably struggle with porn and other things like that. And it's going to alienate them. So they're going to feel shame. They're going to feel guilt. They're going to feel like there's something wrong with them. And they're going to also have thoughts inside their head of self-worthlessness and inability to be able to overcome these things, and that maybe they don't belong to God because they don't, they aren't able to conquer this stuff on their own. And it can drive them, especially when we say that, well, you know, it's not possible for you to have this. It can drive them into places of incredible alienation and aloneness and hopelessness. And absolutely what you said, what I'm saying is that they are not alone. They are not hopeless, that absolutely that situation can be taken care of. can be overcome. Not only can it be, but it will be if they just end up seeking the help of some people that can help them to remove it. And honestly, all Christians have the authority and the ability to be able to do it, to help these people. It's just, you need to learn. It's not that hard to do it, but you do need to understand as far as on how to help them with it.
Well, Jesus cast out demons, and he taught his disciples to do it, and he unleashed, you know, his power in the church and said, go and do likewise. So somewhere along the line, we got off track if we're never discussing these things at all. Let me get to Ayo real quick, spelled A-Y-O. Ayo from Toronto. Welcome to the conversation, Ayo. Question or comment?
I'm getting emotional, man, listening to you guys, honestly. You know what? My brother in Christ that's talking to us right now, you know, everyone has a calling. If you don't do something about your calling, you're wasting your time. Thank you, because this is a message for the beginning of the year. Brother Neil, I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence. About maybe 4 hours, 5 hours drive away from Toronto, I was in the mall with my family. And, you know, I said, literally, I'm going to sit down on this side. You guys go do your thing. And this brother literally came to me. He's actually on the call right now. He's on the radio. I told him, listen, plug in right now. Right now, I want you to plug in. He's actually on the radio right now listening to us. This brother came to me. You know, he's in the mall trying to, you know, get people to know Christ. So obviously, me and he's got into conversation for almost 30 to 40 minutes. Me and this brother were talking. He just messaged me now, like, look, I'm going to listen. He's listening live right now. His name is Angus. If you guys can pray for him, that would be great. This is one thing that I know. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 is very clear. If you don't understand what the conversation is about, go read it. And please get this book. Because one thing I know for sure, the warfare is unbelievable. Brother Neil, you know me for years now. I could list so many different warfares that I've been through in my life. But God is in charge. I literally like to go to sleep because the word to me doesn't exist because Christ is in charge. I'll leave you guys with this. I had a nightmare dream years ago. There was a warfare going on. First round of the fight, I lost. Second round of the fight, I won. Third round of the fight, which is do or die. All I did was shout the name of Jesus, and I won. And I woke up from my sleep sweating. This is not a made-up, guys, if you listen to me right now. This is not made-up. This is a fact. And I could go on and on and on about a list of spiritual warfare on this planet. Like I said, I'm getting emotional because I haven't met Angus. I only met Angus this time. I think it was Saturday or Sunday. I've never met this guy before. He came literally to me to sit down next to me to have a conversation. And this conversation led to talking about Christ. Man, guys, wake up. Wake up. This is not a joke. This is about life, about our family. And I can't wait to get this book because you're talking about tools we need to fight back.
Yep.
You don't need the U.S. Army. You don't need the U.K. Army. You need the warfare on. You need to wear your weapon, guys.
Yep.
I love you guys so much, man. I got to get on the phone.
Thanks,
thank you so much for this.
God bless.
This
and
message.
Lord,
thank you.
Help this gentleman, Angos, or whatever his official name is, whatever he's dealing with. Lord, you're able. You're able to help him. Derek, like I was saying earlier, and I think you touched on it, not every Christian speaks the same language when it comes to how to deal with spiritual warfare. And some will argue about demonic oppression versus possession, et cetera, et cetera. But if we're really honest, the Word of God is filled with the reality that there's a real devil and that spiritual warfare is real. And that as believers, we better be aware of that, because at some point, if we open our lives to some of this stuff, we're going to be tripped up. And the devil wants to take people down. We got to take a break, but a quick comment based on whatever Ayo said there, or you know how you react to what Ayo said. I mean, and you know anything you want to add based on what we're talking about at this very moment.
I think just overall his call basically for us to, this is something that our world is absolutely it. There is more chaos that's coming in. Not something we should need to fear, but it is something that we need to be prepared for.
Right.
And I think that we're able to address those things if we prepare ourselves spiritually. It's a spiritual battle. And like he said, we have the power, we have the authority. We need to learn how to use it. And yeah, that's what I would encourage people.
The enemy's going to do everything he possibly can to get our eyes off of Jesus and onto him, representing the wind and the waves around us. And Derek, we've got about 2 minutes left, but I want to give you the final word here. This is legit. And as we head into the new year, if we want to really experience God's best for our lives, we need to say no to the enemy. Your thoughts as we prepare to close out the conversation?
There's two things. Number one is it's an encouragement and for the church to please look into this stuff, learn this stuff. There's a lot of Christians out there that really do. They need help in this area. And to be empowered, to be light in this world. The world needs this more than ever before. And for those that are trapped in the darkness, it's a message of encouragement that you're not without hope, that Jesus is absolutely the way, the truth, and the life, and we can trust in that. But sometimes even these struggles of incredible darkness can drive us into his incredible power and grace and mercy. So don't give up. Keep looking, find the organizations that do embrace deliverance, and they can guide you into a good place. And that's what the book is for, is to help teach people and encourage them and to come into the power of Christ so that they can be empowered believers as opposed to defeated Christians.
Well, amen. And I want to thank you again for joining us, Derek. Embracing Our Full Victory in Christ is the name of the book. It's subtitled The Journey from Darkness to Light. Derek Mason's a pastor and best-selling author. And Derek, you're welcome back anytime. Great to have you with us today on MBL. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.